Next up, a story from Now Hear This, which is the ABC's very own live storytelling event. This one comes from Ebony Bennett, who was speaking on the theme of Spooked. And it's one of those wonderful stories that don't quite go where you expect them to go. Here's Ebony.
I am a massive fan of horror, the horror genre, and I have been ever since my mum banned me from watching It in primary school. And I went straight out to the local library and I borrowed the Stephen King book and read it because that was not in contravention of mum's rules not to watch it. And it freaked me out. It starts with basically this young kid, you know, running along the street, getting sucked into a drain by a freaky clown who rips his arm off and he dies and bleeds to death. And I couldn't walk past a drain for like months after that, which was a problem because I walked to school every day. So I guess mum really knew what she was talking about. But, you know, tragically for a horror fan, I also have a massively overdeveloped startle reflex. I'm not kidding. Going to the movies with me has been described as a full contact sport. I yelp, I scream, I lift my feet up so jaws can't eat me. I, you know, curl into the fetal position to avoid being shot or stabbed. It's really difficult. And I've literally, you know, because I'm a fan, I've imagined millions of ways that I could die a horrible death. And the most awful one to me would be waking up to know that there's a man in my house who's coming to kill me. The other thing you need to know about me is that I'm a massive nerd. Think Hermione Granger, but instead of having frizzy hair and fighting evil at Hogwarts, I had glasses and I was on the Bombardier High debate team, which is where I met my pen pal at debate camp. Let's call him John. So John and I kind of corresponded for a few years and the letters kind of died off as we got to the end of high school, and I just never thought I'd hear from John again. And then one night I was sitting at home, I was at my parents' place in Bombardieri, and the phone rang and my dad turns to me and he's like, "Oh, it's John on the phone." I'm like, "Who's John?" Pick up the phone, "Oh, Ebony, it's John. I happen to be in town and I thought I'd look you up and visit." And I think that's a bit weird, but I'm like, "Okay, come around." So he comes around and like he comes in and we're catching up and it's something a little bit off. I can't quite figure out what it is. I just kind of chalk it up to the fact that we haven't seen one another or spoken in person in years. And then my dad gets a phone call and he has to leave the house to go across town because his business has been broken into. And as soon as I hear the front door shut, I just get this awful feeling in the pit of my stomach. And I kind of can't put my finger on it. And I'm sitting down and I'm trying to kind of get out of John why he's come to visit. And he's very tense. He's hardly moving at all. He's only giving me one word answers. He won't really look at me. And just this feeling is getting worse in the pit of my stomach. And then my dad rings because clearly he's got the same weird vibe as I have. And he's like, "Is everything okay?" And I'm trying not to alert the potential axe murderer on my couch that anything is wrong. So I'm trying to be really subtle. I'm like, "Oh, not really. I think we've run out of milk." And dad's like frantic on the phone going, "Are you in danger? Is everything okay?" I'm like, "Oh, no, it's going to be fine." He's like, "But you want me to come home?" I'm like, "Definitely. We would definitely like some ice cream, wouldn't we, John?" And so dad's freaking out and I'm kissing goodbye any career I might have as a spy, and just, I can't quite put my finger on it. Something's really weird. But, you know, when I hang up the phone, John bursts into tears. And he's not there to kill me. He's there because he wanted to kill himself. And he had rung his mum a couple of hours ago to say goodbye and that he was going to kill himself. And she had said, "Please stay there. I'm calling the police. Don't do anything." And he had freaked out. The police were coming and he'd gone out of his apartment, jumped in the car and just taken off with no idea where he was going or what he was doing until he saw the sign for Bombardieri and remembered that he had written to me and that I lived there. So he looked me up, and so this all came out and we kind of cried on the couch for a while, and I convinced him to call his mum and just let her know that he was okay, which he agreed to do on the proviso that I wouldn't tell her where he was, which I agreed to do. And so we did that and let her know that he was okay, and then dad came home freaked out, but by this stage I knew that everything was was going to be okay. And so I told him that he could stay there, and I reassured his mum that he could stay there. But then I convinced him to go and have a shower. And while he was in the shower, I felt really bad about this, but I rang his mum back and let her know where we were, and she called the police and they were going to come. And I kind of tucked him into bed and I was sitting with him because the police were taking ages to come and we couldn't figure out what it was. So I kind of just was holding his hand while he went to sleep and, you know, trying to do whatever I could to comfort him. And then just as he was about to go to sleep, the police turn up and they put him in handcuffs, which apparently is standard procedure when you've threatened self-harm. And he just looked at me like I had totally betrayed him, which I kind of felt like I had done as well. And I felt awful. But then a couple of days later, he'd got some acute psychiatric care, and he called me back and he told me that I'd done the right thing, and he thanked me, and his parents came around to thank our family for looking after him for those few scary hours. And so I guess, you know, I was spooked, but he was more spooked than I could ever be and had clearly been so for quite a while. So I guess the moral to the story is, if you've had the black dog stalking you or if you're spooked in your life, there's always someone to reach out to, even if it's someone that you've only ever written to and haven't seen in a million years. Thanks.
Ebony Bennett speaking at the Now Hear This live storytelling evening. And in this Mental As Week, right across the ABC, you're listening to Earshot on RN with me, David Rutledge.